purpose? What's the big picture that God has for us? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 is where I want to start. You all know it by heart. He says, therefore, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, and you know why you say therefore, what it's there for, right? Because of all the stuff that's just gone before it in Romans. In light of all of that, talking about what we just were singing and preaching and pounding nails about this morning, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We would offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. That's just our reasonable service. He said, in light of the mercies, and because of the mercies, and what you see of the mercies of God, when you taste something of God, he says, then offer yourself as a living sacrifice. My other favorite verse, and I said I got these all stirred up again in my heart being away, is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15. You should have this one by heart. It says, I will gladly spend everything I have, brothers, sisters, and be spent for the sake of your souls. It was one of my, you know, there's verses in the Bible that are life verses. It's kind of like in the Old Testament, it says, you know, in all your ways acknowledge him, lean not on your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Some of those verses become life verses. The whole Bible should be our Bible for life, of course. We've all memorized the whole Bible, right? Come on. Who wants to start? Genesis 1. Now I want it in Greek, if you're really serious. He says, I will gladly spend all that I have. And not only all that I have, but be spent. And then Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. Sorry, I'm taking these three life verses of mine. I'm going to combine them all into one ginormous sermon this morning. Maybe. But you know the story of the 11th hour worker in Matthew, where Jesus tells the story of a rich man, and he goes out early in the morning. He finds guys on the side of the road, and he calls them in, and he says, come and work. And then he goes out at Satatu at 9 in the morning, and the 6th hour at noon. He goes out at the 9th hour, which is 3 in the afternoon. And then he goes out on the 11th hour, which is 5 o'clock. That's the same clock they use in Tanzania. He goes out on the 11th hour, and he invites them, and he calls them to work, and they come and work. And then at the end of the day, which is 1 hour later, 7 o'clock at night, in our clocks, the 12th hour, he calls them all and he starts paying them. He calls them from the first to the last. Remember the story, right? We don't need to go read it, but you can go ahead and read it. And he calls them in, and starting with the last ones hired, he pays them a denarius, a day's wage. And the guys who are hired first, they're getting excited and they're thinking, man, if those guys are getting a day's wage for 1 hour, whew, and then when they come, they all got the same wage. And then they're upset with him and he says, isn't it my right to be generous with who I want to be generous? If the first is last and the last is first. And there's so many sermons right in there, but the point, and I've made it here many, many times, is simply this. Our reward is the life we get to live. Our reward for serving God is that we get to serve Him more. Bill and Gerda's blessing for serving God for 3,000 years is that they get to serve Him for 3,000 more years. You know what I mean? That's our reward. The reward for believers serving God is the service and the serving of God. It's not a burden. It's not something, oh man. That's why Paul could say, I will gladly spend everything I have and be spent for the sake of your souls. It's not, he wasn't working up some religious fervor, whipping himself, clubbing himself on the head. He was excited to see the power of serving God and what it meant in his life and for the people that he served. And Romans is where he says it, in light of all the mercies of God, I am shouting, I guess, eh? It's okay. Give yourselves as a living sacrifice. Your whole life becomes your sacrifice. Your whole being of who you are to serve Him and live for Him and love Him. It's not some hard religious thing, some terrible thing. And I see these guys from all over Africa Young families, we had some serious prayer times at the altars and dealing with stuff and life and battles and victories and amazing testimonies. And I wish you could all be there. I wish one day this whole church could just go and say, let's go bless the missionary conference and encourage them. Wouldn't that be amazing? Let's take up an offering this morning and see how many we can get there. But just imagine what's going on in this. And that's just a little taste of all the stuff that's going on in the entire planet that we live in. And that's what gets me excited. When we have a purpose and we have a reason for serving the Lord and getting up in the morning and doing what we're doing. So that's my sermon to you this morning on Easter Sunday, is that we have a purpose. What are you spending your lives on? That's what Paul's answering. We're all spending our life on something. What are you spending yours on? What am I spending mine on? I wanted to count for the kingdom. And I want to say this. I got 3 points and then my sermon. We are all spending our lives. Amen? Say to your neighbor, we're all spending our lives. Thank you. We're all using up our life for something. Right? It's being used. It's being spent right now. Somebody stole the clock up there, so I have no idea how long I'm preaching. So you'll have to... Who steals a clock out of a church? Now, how low is that? That's just mean. The second thing is, so if we're all spending our lives, I put it to you this way. We spend our lives on what we value. So what do you value? Well, look at what you're spending your life on. That's what you value. Jack used to say, show me your bank account and I'll show you what you value. Show me your friends and I'll show you what you value. What we value, we will spend our life on. So the third thing is to value the things that God values. And in order to value the things that God values, we need a revelation from God. We need God to break into, because we all get caught up with the immediate, we all get caught up with the necessary or the stuff, and we miss the important, we miss the, there's a couple of words that line up there and I can't remember them, so it's okay. But we get caught up in the immediate, we get caught up in the stuff, and we sometimes can forget what the important stuff is. We can get pushed aside what we really value and just get caught up getting busy. And what needs to happen is we need God to come in and by a revelation from God himself, stir up our hearts to show us what really matters in life. A trip to Africa for me again was an eye-opener again. It was good for me and Lori and for Matthew, I hope. Especially traveling with me, he loved it. But to open your eyes again to the world of what matters. Here's the bottom line. It doesn't matter if you live in the slums of Malindi on the coast of Kenya or Addis Ababa, a city of, they say 8 million. It looked like they all lived on the street where Brian lives. Or you're here in Alberta where it's crispy, white, and clean. It doesn't matter where you live in the world. You've got to find a purpose and a revelation of God and a meaning in your life that comes from him. Otherwise, we're just putting in time and eating and going through the motions. Makes no sense what's going on in the world today outside of God. But I thank God that he can come and give us a revelation. What is God giving you a revelation about this morning? And you say, well, what do you mean a revelation? I just do in my life. No, but there's knowing things and there's knowing about things. We can talk. I got 4 things in my sermon I'm going to talk about, okay? The first one is God. So let me start with that. There's knowing about God. There's understanding, reading. You can even pray simple prayers. You can come to church, whatever. You can do things. But until that relationship from God becomes a revelation to you, it becomes real to you. It's revealed to you what that really means. If you never get that, if you never had that revelation, you'll just be a religious person. You'll just be a person trying hard. You'll just be a person saying, oh, well, this Sunday wasn't so bad, or the preacher was okay or not so okay or whatever. You'll never get past that. You'll always be a visitor. You'll always be looking in. You'll always be wondering. But when God comes in your life and this whole message of the cross or the whole message of the resurrection or the whole message of the call of God on your life, Ephesians chapter 2, where he says he saved us by grace and he has called us into his purpose and his plans. He's got this plan for your life. Once you get a revelation of that, it settles everything. It changes everything. It'll change the way you live. It'll change the way you spend your money. It'll change the way you talk. It changes you because you have a revelation of God and who He is. And my prayer is this morning on Easter Sunday, if you do not have a personal relationship with God, you do not have a personal one-on relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't care what your grandmother prayed. I don't care what your father prayed. You yourself. I don't care if you're sitting in church forever. But you yourself do not have a revelation that's real. The Holy Spirit has not made Christ real to you. My prayer is this morning you would call out to Him. My prayer is this morning, I actually wouldn't have minded the nails and stuff to still be here. It's okay because sometimes someone needs to just come and pound and say, I need to get saved. I need to repent of my sin. And it would be nice if it interrupted my sermon. And if I ever get too boring, just come and start pounding on that thing. But maybe that would be dangerous because... But wake us up to some of the mercies of God and who He is and what He's done in our lives. That's what Sunday morning on Easter especially is supposed to be about. It's like, wow, God has a plan. God has a purpose. He's working in my life. So we need a personal revelation or you will not value God. You will not value Him. You'll know about Him. You'll just give some mental assent to Him. You'll give some thoughts. Oh, this, you know, it's good. Yeah, but sometimes it's mean and sometimes I don't understand and it's questions and it's, and then you just get a revelation of who God is. It's like, oh God, thank you. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. We need a personal revelation to convince us whatever it is that we'll spend our life on it. So you're spending your life on something, but I'm praying this morning that God would come and challenge you and me with the things that really matter. So the first one, I've already killed it, our relationship with God. Till the Holy Spirit makes the cross real to you, you won't get it. You won't understand Christianity. You can sit in a church from the time you're born till the time you're 22. You will not get this message unless the Holy Spirit reveals to you what the message of the cross is. And I'm telling you, if you don't get it, cry out to God and say, God, show me that message. What does it mean? What does it mean to have a Savior? What does it mean to live for Jesus? You know, I'm going to talk about some of the most important relationships in our life. And the next one is marriage and family and so on. But it breaks my heart to see young men and women, some who are in this church, throw away their marriages. Throw away a relationship with God. For what? For what? For what? What's out there? Come with me. I'll take you places. What's out there? You can have all the wealth of the entire world and you have nothing yet. If you do not have peace in your heart. If you do not have the forgiveness of sin. It doesn't make sense. You walk around in a city, any of the cities in Africa that I've been in the last while. Just the most amazing architecture that you do not see in Edmonton. We do not have a billion, maybe we do, I don't know, but $1 billion Sheraton hotel. And right beside it is a dung, stinking mud place. Like 50 million of them around it. And you just, it's like, it doesn't make sense. The world we live in is just wild. It's crazy. And the only sense that I can make out of it is that God has a purpose and a plan. And when men and women, doesn't matter if they're living in the dung house or they're living in the Sheraton, they have a purpose in their life through a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have one this morning, on Easter Sunday morning, will you bow your heart to Him and say, Lord, I should have come and pounded a nail in that cross. My sin took you to that cross. Forgive me this morning. Be the Lord and Savior of my life today. Not religiously, actually I really did like the sound of the hammer hitting those nails. It's so irreligious, it's so stupid, it's so distracting. But that's the message of the cross. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. To the Greek it was a foolishness, to the Jew it was a stumbling block, it was just a stench in their nose. They just saw this guy being brutally murdered on a cross and they just spat on him. And we do the same when we ignore the message of Christ, when we ignore what Jesus did on Easter. Second area we need revelation for is our family and relationships. We need it again by God. You know, I've already said it's the, other than our relationship with Jesus, I don't think there's anything more important than our families and our husbands, wives, spouses, our children, mothers, fathers, that all those relationships. And I said already, just I don't get it how easily some people throw that away. Throw away family, throw away a wife, throw away a husband, throw away life. God help us. God help us. But in order to lay down your life for your wife, really, you need a revelation from God. It's not normal to serve someone. It's not normal to sacrifice and to love and to care. It's not normal. The flesh fights it. We need a revelation from God about the value of a family, the value of a son, the value of a daughter, the value of a wife or a husband. God, give us a new revelation of that. Jesus came so that we could be free from our selfishness, free from our own sins, free from being stuck on our own little me and what I need, and to see people and to see God and to see our loved ones. Let me move on. The third one is our community, the church community. I thank God for this church. As I said, what got stirred up traveling was to come back and to be together with this church. I love this church. I bragged about you from one end of Kenya to the other end of Ethiopia. It's a miracle what God's done for us. And I'll testify to that all over the world. I wish there was 10,000 of us so that the worldly Western mentality of people who only know numbers could be, oh, like, ooh, wow. I always just say, yeah, between 3,000 and 5,000. Hallelujah. That's what we are. 3,000 and 5,000. Or somewhere in there. Oh, man. I had fun with those poor missionaries. Trust me. We laughed till we were sick. And then we cried and then we prayed. And, oh, man. I have too many stories, and you should hear some of the stories from those guys. But the church community, if you do not have a genuine revelation of what church is, its value, its purpose, you will forever remain a guest. You'll always be a visitor. You'll always have questions. You'll always wonder. You'll always just be on the edge. And I'm, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. My prayer is that you'd get a revelation for the church that Jesus is building. We're not the only church in the city, and if you don't find a place to knit in here and be part of this church, that's okay. Find a church. Find a family, a faith family that you can knit into and become part of and serve and love and minister to. And am I saying that because I'm in need? No, I'm saying it because you need it. I need it. To serve people, to love the body of Christ, to use my gifts. I didn't go into Romans 12. It's just, you know, I urge in the light of God's mercies, give your bodies as a living sacrifice. And he says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Do you remember all those verses? Then he says, your gifts, the ones that Dennis talked about, that God's put in us. We each have a gift. We're part of a body. And then he says, love must be sincere. It must be genuine. That's what Romans 12 goes through. And he makes the point that we need one another. Bring your gift. Bring what you have. Be who God's made you to be. I think it was Brian, even when he's preaching here, maybe somewhere we're just talking, but one of the battles we have as peoples, we have a gift. Each one of us have a gift, whether it's administration or serving or generosity or whatever. I can't even remember those ones in Romans 12. There's 7 or 8 of them listed there. We all have some gift to bring. We're all born with something. But then bring it. And what the devil will try to do, you know, you have a gift of serving. Some of you have a gift of serving. And one, it's very easy for me to say, who I know has that gift, was Selma her whole life, serving. It makes her cry that her back hurts so much that she has to watch, I won't name anybody, but there's a few people who she has to watch mop. And she's like, oh, Jesus. It just breaks your heart to see how some people mop. One of them's me. Kind of mop around. You know, when you have a servant's heart, she's like, that's not cleaning the floor. And she would just give her life to be able to show us how to clean. She got a servant's heart. But the problem was when you have the gift of serving, the devil, the way the enemy will try to rob you from that is to say, well, you know, Lord, use me, but I'm feeling so used. It's like no one else is serving. That's okay. Your gift is serving. Serve and do it as unto the Lord. Don't worry about your brother, your sister, how they're serving or not serving. That you serve. You have a gift of administration. Why is everything so chaotic around here? Don't worry. Do your job. Do your part in the body. Do your administration part. Do your gift. And let God take care of the other. You're generous. But I'm the only one who's giving. Nobody's giving. I'm just giving. I'm tired. All they want is my money. Give. Give with joy. Give with passion. Because that's your gifting. There's a generousness about your life. I love generous people. Generous with their time. Generous with their kindness. Generous with life. Live a big life. Not stingy little life. Yeah, but I've been hurt and I've been burned. Okay, well then go back into a little stingy, pitiful life. How's that work? Bring whatever gift you have to the body and serve God with a whole heart. And what I'm saying is it takes a revelation from God. He's got to make that real in your life. Sometimes as leaders, you know, we make announcements and we put up things. We're going to serve one another. We've got life groups. We're going to do life together. And it's like, you don't want it? Then just quit. We will find life with one another. Those who want it. That's what I'm trying to say. It becomes a revelation to you. And when you step away from your church, you step away from your family where there is life, I'm telling you, you miss it. Go somewhere. I was in my brother's church in Addis. They have a great church. I'm like, oh Lord, I wished I was in Edmonton. Because I know what they are. They would be singing and praising God. We need each other. Amen? And the last one, sorry. Got carried away on that one. But our worlds we live in, it costs to enter this world, to engage this world in a way that's meaningful, that will touch and change lives with the message of Christ, that to have the chance to preach the gospel. If you don't have a revelation from God for it, you probably will never do it. There's just too many things flying through my mind on this trip. One guy, his name is Guy, so that's easy to remember. A Newfoundlander. It made it even more easy to remember. Guy and, what was her name? Jane. Those are tough names. They minister in Senegal. First time we've met them. They've been there 19 years or something. But my last point is you need a revelation to care about the world. To care about, you know, God, family, church, and the world. And Guy and his wife, Jane, they've been there 19 years, but the thing that gripped me was they work with and I'm going to say it wrong, so help me again, Lord, the Taliban. You know, we have the Taliban. You hear about that in the news? A warrior of Allah. It means a lot of things, but it's a Taliban literally is a disciple of Allah. And so this couple, besides all the ministry they're doing, they have started to reach out to the Taliban, and it literally means a disciple of Allah. But what it's become in Senegal, where they work, is the imam, the pastors of the mosques. They all have between 40 and 50 Taliban, which sounds amazing to have 40 or 50 disciples of Allah that you minister to with. They come and live with them and they minister and share. It's kind of like the picture of Jesus and his disciples. But the reality of it on the ground is these Taliban are boys from the age of 4 to about 12 who come and stay with the imam in their homes and become their slaves. And they go out on the streets every day from morning till night and beg. And if they don't come with enough, the older boys steal from the younger. They disappear. They literally are murdered. They die. They starve. These little talibes, these little boys, live on the streets morning until night and bring back all that they've collected to the pastor. And they have taken up the job of ministering to those little boys at noon. They're not allowed to talk to them. They're not. It's like when we used to try to minister to the prostitutes in Winnipeg and took the bus around with Love Lives Here and invite them in for coffee. The pimps are everywhere, and you can only offer the coffee and the drink for a certain time, and then everybody's real nervous. And so they offer lunch to the talibé during this 1 hour. They'll have 200 or 300 little boys. They come in. They're all beat up. They try to give them food. They try to give them medicine. They try to bandage them up. And the whole time they're in there, they're just freaked out, nervous. They got to get back on the street. It's like you need a revelation from God to give your life to that. You need a revelation from God to have enough compassion to just to feed a four-year-old talibé every day until he's dead or never comes back. And that's the only opportunity that you have, is to share that moment with him and to give him something, put a bandage on him, to care about his life and do something. You need a revelation from God. And you and I need a revelation from God to love my neighbor here in Edmonton for 17 more years, to clean his driveway, to be able to share Christ, that somehow he becomes real in their life. Somehow. I love hearing the testimonies in Ethiopia of the Muslims that are converting and they're having dreams, and that it's, you don't even believe us when we talk about this stuff. The millions of Orthodox who are now converting to Christ. It takes men and women to lay down their life, to have a revelation, to say, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to take the gospel. I'm going to make a difference in the world. And you need to have that revelation here at Edmonton. That's what I come back with. We need to have a supernatural empowering of the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, to understand what the cross was all about, to understand what God's mercy is all about, to understand what he's called us for a bigger purpose into our lives, that we would stand up and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to serve you with my whole life. And that's my prayer. And I'm not going to settle for anything less than I'm living flat out for Jesus. God did not call you to come to Alberta to start a little business and just live a nice little life. Ha ha. Nobody in mind when I say that. Nobody in mind that I said, no, you and I were saved into something amazing called the gospel of Jesus. And he wants our entire lives. He wants our marriages to count. He wants our lives to count. He wants our ministries to count. And every one of us has a ministry. And so I'm going to end with this. I wrote it down so I wouldn't quit early. Do you know God has called you? Do you know that? Man, I hate not having a clock. Sorry. It's 11:23. Just to help you out, you don't need to look. Looking at the world these last couple of weeks, my goodness, there's no time for playing at this stuff. There's no time to just be nice little Christians. There's no time to just wonder about my life and wonder where I am at and, oh God, where are you? It's time to get up and serve God. It's time to fight for your kids. It's time to fight for your family. It's time to pray. It's time to get serious about the kingdom of Jesus. It's time to live lives full of passion for God and for his purpose. So here's my question. Do you know God has called you? If you don't, repent this morning and seek him. Get a revelation from him what he has in store for your life. What's the purpose of your life? What he's intended for you and called you into. And it can be to be a good wife. It can be to be a good husband. It can be to be the best businessman, whatever it is. But you find it for your life. Are you prepared to pay the price to walk that out? And are you willing to ask God to lead you into it, no matter what the cost? So that's my three questions for this morning. I'd like us to stand. Thanks, musicians. If you don't know Jesus, Seriously, not about him. You don't know him as Lord and Savior. You have not had a revelation of who Jesus is. I'm asking you this morning to cry out to God. Ask God. Ask God to show you himself. It's not just some village out in Afghanistan where God will give people visions and dreams and call and speak to them in the night. He's speaking to people today. But more than that, if you're here this morning, I'm asking you, are you willing to pay the price? Whatever it is, first of all, maybe to know what the call of God is, but when you know it, when you know why God has planted you here, what is the gifting he's put you in the body of Christ for, into your family, for, into Edmonton, for, into Canada for, will you be willing to pay the price? Will you be willing to say, yes, Lord? And as we close, I don't know, you got a good song? A bad song? Would you make the commitment this morning to say, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever the cost. You know what I came away from this weekend, these weeks, with? I know it in my knower. I don't know how it all works. And I'll say more about it over the weeks. But there's people in this church that God's calling into full-time ministry. Not in this city. Into parts of the world outside of us. And it's time to stir that up again. There's those he's called right into this city and into this church. It's time to stir those gifts up again. Are you willing? Are you willing to say, yes, Lord? Yes, I am willing. Show me. Show me. And when he does, I'm ready. So if that's you, would you just put up your hand and say, yes, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm ready. Yeah, thanks. I am. I'm saying, God, whatever it takes, thank you. Let's sing together.